And good morning, and welcome to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Today is March the 13th, Saturday, in the year of our Lord, 2021. I hope everybody had a good week. Your host is Rick Schmidt, Tim and Lori Spencer, and I believe we're all here.
Yes, morning, we guys.
We are. Good morning. Hello.
Everybody having a good week?
Yeah, I got about a million things done. That only leaves a couple million to go.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. When your to-do list keeps getting longer instead of shorter, I live kind of out in the rural area, and we've got a church, and even though it's Catholic, they lean rural. They've got a song they sing. I'm so busy praising the Lord, I ain't got time to die. And that's about the way it is around here. You know, we're so doggone busy, nobody has time to die. That's too time consuming. We can't do that.
Ready?
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah, big waste of time.
My problem is I keep forgetting I only have one leg and I can't climb ladders anymore, and I have all these big plans and I got to try to do something, and it don't work. I just keep forgetting my limitations.
Well,
one of these days I'm going to learn them.
Maybe not. I'm not sure there's an upside to it.
Yeah. I got to get off my butt and hire somebody. Used to have a guy, but he got a full-time job.
I know that you're going to do some news, although I am having a little difficulty hearing you. The echo is very pronounced this morning.
All right, hang on.
Yeah.
How does this sound, Rick?
Well, about the same. Maybe a little better.
Oh. Okay, I had two mics running.
Say again?
I said I had two microphones on accidentally.
Well, maybe just go down to one.
That's what I did.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, here's one, folks. You know, we're required by law to defend Taiwan if it's attacked by anybody. You know, I don't remember how many years ago, but it was, you know, somewhere since the 50s, I think. Congress passed a law saying if Taiwan's attacked, we have to defend them. Well, the wargaming people have decided that, I'll read you the headline. Wargame showed U.S. would lose fast against China if it invaded Taiwan, and that was a U.S. Air Force general. I think this is probably true now because the technological advances they've made and the huge investments in their military, what they call, now I'll never understand this, People's Liberation Army Navy. Sounds like a football game to me, but what can I say? That's what they named it. But anyway, they're going to have three carriers here in a couple of years. We've got one in the area. They've got us outnumbered in everything, in that specific area. I don't think they'll attack mainland U.S. They'd lose. There's no question about that, but there, around Taiwan, I think they'd win. I think the Air Force guys are right. Now, just something to keep in mind. Hopefully they won't do it. Old Como's had a seventh accuser come forward. Too bad they're not accusing him of murder like he deserves, just sexual harassment. Multiple credible sexual harassment and misconduct allegations. Now old Senator Schumer's even calling for him to resign. So I think his resignation would be getting off, he'd be getting off very, very easy. I'd like to see him go on trial for about 10,000 counts of murder. That's my personal opinion. Is give me a second. There's a good opinion piece on Zero Edge. Lockdowns wreck democracy around the world. Tagline, government bureaucrats become a new priesthood that could sanctify unlimited sacrifices merely by invoking dubious statistical extrapolations of future perils. Guys, if you have a chance, read that. I think we all already know it, but this puts it in the terms that are very succinct, and there might be something there that you haven't thought of. Now, Rick, I promise I'd keep the news short, but you got any opinion on any of these things, or do you worry?
No, I mean, I'm not trying to skip my responsibility here, but, you know, from well before the time of Jesus until well after the time that I'm gone, there will always be people who are addicted to power, and they will always be stepping all over the rights of other people. And you know, why anymore these people are not dealt with in an intelligent way? We all know that the government is completely co-opted. The courts are, Congress is, and the military has had its issues. Of course, Obama got rid of all kinds of conservative people and put his crazies in, and then renamed one of the ships the USS Harvey Milk. What are you going to do? I mean, I guess that speaks for itself. No, I have no opinion. Things are out of control.
If I was on the USS Harvey Milk, I would be on the phone to my detailer, the guy that cuts assignments, and begging to be off that ship every single day that we were.
I'm sure
I'd be on the phone.
Oh my God! Can you imagine pulling into port and you get off the Harvey Milk and have to go into a bar? Holy crap! I'd expect to get killed.
Oh,
you would never want that on your uniform. That'd be horrible.
I agree. And, they have these lockers that go on the right sleeve that say what your command is. And
bad.
My final one when I got out of the Navy was Naval Station Charleston Brig, because I was attached to it, even though I never worked there. I mean, I'd go in I'd call in once a week on Wednesdays, tell them I was alive, but that was it. And I tell you, the couple of times I wore that uniform with that rocker on it, it was surprising when people saw it. They backed up a step or two, you know.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't mind being associated with the battleship Missouri, but... So, no, I have no opinion. What about Mrs. Spencer?
Hey, get off mute, Lori. Maybe she lost her connection.
Well, having said that, I am going to read a couple of things to you with respect to, as Tim and I were talking about before the show, I suspect that being here in America, we have, some of our freedoms left. Freedom of religion is one of them that is not as under attack as it could be, although I think there were more Christians executed last year than any other year in history, but owing to that, I think that probably I should be including some spiritual component. I think it's good for all of us to do it. I'm going to read two things. I'm going to read the Litany of Humility again. And then there is something I want to read that was from last Tuesday. During Lent, the Catholic Church will give you a little tiny booklet, and it's like 4 inches by 6 inches, and each page is a day. And on that, on the day, there is a thought. And it's just kind of a, what should I say, a guide, you know, just to keep you focused. You know, here we are more than halfway through Lent, I believe. Anyway, to that effect, this goes this way. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, slandered, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, O Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. You know, it's funny, as I read through that, I see various people in my head, my wife, her mother, my mother-in-law, and other people were so good at sitting back and letting other people shine. It is, of course, humility. That is the Litany of Humility, and you know, it is said in the letter of Peter that charity covers a great multitude of sins, and as I've said before on the show, although for not for quite a while now I haven't, is that form of charity that he's talking about is being humble and refusing to judge. So that, you know, that is an exercise, basically, is what that is. From Tuesday, I want to read you this, because this, I'm horrible at this, and I wonder if any of you will see yourselves committing this same crime. When I start counting, it's usually not a good sign, whether it's noting how many people are ahead of me in the checkout line, how many seconds left before the light changes, how many emails and texts are in the inbox on any given day. Peter tries to establish an upper limit to mercy. But Jesus multiplies it out. You know, he says, Rabbi, how many times must I forgive my brother? And he says, 7 times. And then, of course, Jesus says, no, 70 times, 7 times, meaning it's limitless. 777 is shorthand for infinity in God's personal and public accounting. The master of mercy wants to clear the books for all of his servants, but for this to happen, we must let his forgiveness permeate our hearts, absorbing just how incredibly generous and patient God is. If we fail in this regard,
And here is the deal, man. This is me. Residual fears and self-recrimination get projected outward in a spiritually violent way, as with the wicked servant. When we choke on compassion, we're likely to throttle others for slights and small-scale indignities visited upon us. In other words, if you refuse to accept forgiveness, you will remain bristly and short-tempered with others, which is, that's something I really have a tough time. I have a tough time forgiving myself for infractions. And what happens when you do this, is you get stuck. You get stuck, and I can promise you that Satan loves when you get stuck. So you may not necessarily be comfortable forgiving yourself, but I have a feeling it is a skill that could probably be learned, and I really need to be working on that. If you see yourself in this situation, I feel sorry for you. Pope Francis counsels, he is not one of my favorite guys, counsels priests not to turn the confessional into a torture chamber. The priests I know are eminently patient in dealing with habitual sinners, for we all humbly acknowledge it takes one to know one. Yet if, while standing in line waiting for a sacrament, we find ourselves checking our watches or glaring at other people because you're being impatient, maybe we should ponder if it's mercy we're seeking or our own debtor's prison. Well, that he's getting a little poetic there at the end. But the takeaway from this is that, if you're seeking forgiveness for your shortcomings, even if they're habitual, we're all going to have those character flaws that just don't seem to go away. And I've talked about this before. You can get rid of most of them through hard work, prayer, and perseverance. But boy, there are always a couple that just don't want to go away. And if you find yourself constantly accusing yourself and self-flagellating, that's not what it sounds like. It means beating up on yourself. You probably need to try to stop that. You probably need to try to get over that. So that will do it for that subject. Depending on what we're doing here, I was going to go on to gardening and then to bees. And depending on the time, there were some very, very interesting things from Cliff High regarding what he would call woo and my definition of woo is, that which exists or is true, whether or not you're comfortable recognizing it, that would be what woo would be. It's all of those things that are kind of in the background and most people really don't want to focus their eyes on because it tends to be painful. But it's woo nonetheless.
True.
Yeah, it's woo anyway. Yeah, woo is here to stay. And I think, year one here, right? Last year, year zero. I think as this year wears on, even the people who would like to deny that we're having a woo problem, well, it's not a woo problem. Actually, we call it a woo opportunity. As time wears on this year, they are going to basically have their face shoved in it, whether they want it or not, because it's going to be harder this year, harder and harder to get around. You're not going to be able to deny its existence. I hear the music.
Okay, Rick. We got a break, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We're going to start taking calls at 11 Central. In other words, top of the hour of the show. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll
My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you...
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Here on RBN. Hope everybody's having a good weekend so far. Okay, Rick, gardening?
Yes, it's gardening, although I did have one more walking in circles here thinking about what I just said, which is what I always do. I always say things and then I stop and I think about, I guess the bottom line for this self-recrimination situation would be that if you can manifest the patience not to judge others and to let God do that, then do just do that much for yourself. Don't judge yourself. Let God do that, too. Chances are, maybe he's nicer than you. You know, maybe he'll give you a lighter sentence than you were going to give yourself. Yes, gardening. Oh, my goodness. We are right on the edge of... all that is fun, you know, you get your opportunity to try your hand at growing food, try your hand at getting skin cancer again. It's just going to be great. You gotta keep those dermatologists in business.
Skin cancer. Oh, it's been 10, 12 years ago, and, you know, for me, it wasn't a big deal. It didn't spread. They cut it out completely, and that's why I was kind of chuckling. Getting any kind of cancer is no fun, but people don't take it the wrong way. Been there, done that, and that's why I was laughing.
Oh, yeah, I think most people our age have had something cut off and or whatever they do. As far as gardening goes, there was supposed to have been yesterday a whole bunch of more seeds come in that was supposed to have it would be all of my oddball peppers that I ordered from Haas. And not that Haas was late at all. They were Johnny on the spot. But the mail people, time I check to see where it is, they move me back another day. You know, they don't seem to be responsible for much. So having said that, I want to tell you what I did yesterday, because this, and I'll lose track of what I'm doing here for obvious reasons. I decided they want so much money for Velvet Red Wizard Coleus. And the reason that I want it is because it does well in the sun. And around here, We don't have a lot of shade. So this red wizard coleus, if you plant it in a mass from a distance, it is quite shocking. And around here, as you drive down the highway, when you cross into another county or municipality, they will typically put up their sign on the highway letting you know you're entering their town, which is good because that way you know which police department is about to ticket you. But they will have a big architectural planting. They'll have their sign, and they'll have lights on it, and they'll have flowers all over the place, bushes, whatever. But they use a lot of these red coleuses out there, and it's pretty much in full sun out there. The interesting thing about these is that you cannot plant the seeds. They have to sit on top of the ground. So it poses problems, and as I believe I may have mentioned before, there are other plants that do this too, stevia being one of them. But the problem is that, you know, what are you supposed to do here? I mean, if you put the seeds right on top of the ground, right on top of your potting soil, in your flat, and you try to water it, the seeds are just going to go everywhere. So you can't do it like that. It involves... say again?
Spray bottle?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes. You would use the spray bottles, but so the way I handled it was this. I had bought last year, because I did not like upsizing tomatoes and peppers, I bought a few hundred of these little peat pots, little 2-inch peat pots. So I filled them with potting soil, and these plant propagation kits are ridiculously expensive. Usually they will give you a tray and then a catchment tray under that, and then a plastic dome lid, and which basically looks like a big cake thing. And then they want $25 or $30 for it, which, you know, I say, well, that there's a bunch of crap right there. Not to mention the fact you really can't get that much in there. So, and I want a couple hundred of these, see? A couple hundred of them would be ridiculous. It would be very expensive unless you do them from seed. So I was going to go to Walmart, and I thought, okay, well, what I'll do is I'll get some of these food storage container type situations. And then I saw a dollar store across the street, and I'm like, well, before I do this, I'm going to go over there. And sure enough, I found those, it's not clear plastic, they're translucent plastic that you would put leftover food in. The lids were red, but they were translucent lids. So, is that a song? I believe that's a song.
Yep, it's yep. Time for break.
I want to hold the hand inside you. I want to take the breath that's true. I look to you when I see nothing. I look to you to see the truth. You live your life, you go in shadow. You'll come apart.
For a trusted long-term storable food company, we have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly 1 million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz. Oh, Lord, won't
you
buy
me do this prayer
a
next
color
week too.
TV?
Yeah.
Dialing for dollars is trying to find me.
I
wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV?
Oh, welcome back to the Rural Survival Show, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Ken. All right, guys. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Rick. Pardon me.
Well, maybe he could do that during the spiritual portion of the show. I mean, you know, keep it organized. Yeah. Thank you, Ken. Yeah.
That was Janis Joplin. I didn't know that.
What? Well, who did you think it was? Well, okay.
I just didn't know it.
No, it's Janis Joplin, to be real. That was huge back in the late 50s. You missed the 50s. The coleus that I'm planting. So what I did was I found these. They're basically about the size of a shoebox, but only about 2.5 inches deep, with a red translucent lid. Put the peat pots in there, filled with potting soil, and packed fairly tight. Wet them down real good, sprinkle the seeds, just a few, in the top of each one of these cells, and then put about 1/4 inch of water in the bottom, and then loosely put the lid on top. Now, that was yesterday, so I can promise you the seeds have not germinated yet. But these seeds, if you cover them, they won't do anything, because like other seeds of this nature, they require light. In order to germinate. So, of the coleus family, there are many, many, many coleuses, and there are a handful that can stand full sunlight. This is one. There's another one which I'm having a fit getting my hands on. It's lime green, and but my goodness, I think they want like $7 for 14 seeds or something. I'm not happy about this situation. I may have to just skip that part. We'll see what happens with respect to those flowers. Also, I also am doing New Guinean patients. Now, those can also take practically full sun. And around town, we do see some all the way out by the highway, and they are for sure in full sun. So I was going to do something that I've seen in commercial landscapes, and that is to mass orange and pink together. And, you know, if you know anything about getting dressed, you know that that's probably not the color combination, unless this is on your yoga pants, and I don't actually have any. But if you do it with flowers, it is quite a shock to the eyeball. Those, however, do get covered lightly. The professionals now lately here have been, instead of covering seeds with potting soil, they have been covering them with perlite, which is that white. You see it in potting mix. It looks like little white foam things. But it is actually, I think, a form of volcanic rock, I think, is what it is. It's actually a form of rock. So I will cover those lightly with perlite and see how that works out. This is the time, of course, we talked about tomatoes last week, and I will be planting them tomorrow or Monday, one or the other, depending on the kind of time that I have. But at the same time, I will want to do the peppers that show up today and the eggplants. I want to get them going because they will have to go out into the garden somewhere between April 15th and May 1st around here. Says the last frost date around here is April the 15th, so we have some variables. It's going to depend on the weather. It's going to depend on how quickly these things grow. You know, I'm not going to put plants in the ground that are a half inch high, so I'll just have to do the best I can with that. Something I heard that was very, very interesting, I have not forgotten about the South End of butternut squash. That, I think, is going to be my winter squash, my go-to winter squash, which around here is not planted in the winter or in the fall. It's planted in the spring. There was a Haas Tools show this week where they were talking about urban gardens and whatnot, and Travis Key, the younger Haas, said that they are still eating the South End of butternut squash from that they harvested late last summer. So that is pretty good storage time. You know, let's say they pulled them in July or August. You know, we are now, 7 months past that? So that's pretty good. That's pretty good storage on a squash. But winter squash do tend to store well as long as the sugar content is not too high. There are some that don't store very long, and those would be the ones that are highly praised by professional chefs. They have a higher sugar content. I'm not too worried about that. When we cook squash around here, I'm not normally doing it to see what grade I get. And if I want it a little sweeter, I'll put in a teaspoon of brown sugar and I'll be fine. But I'd rather have storage time. And I must admit, I've only grown Kershaw squash one time successfully, and I'm going to have to take another whack at that. That is one of my all-time favorites. So, along with the South Anna butternut squash, I will be trying another round of Kershaw squash, and I'll put them basically somewhere together. The Haas Tools people have a few new summer squash seeds out. These are interesting because they would be a form of a zucchini, but they aren't. They aren't like the sunburst or the what's that light green one? I haven't thought about it since last year. But the things, they look like little satellites, little child tops. These things are more the shape of a hand grenade. In fact, one is called grenade, or if you believe them, granada, but I don't think so. And the other one is called the green griller. Yeah, and then the green griller, so these are, they're summer squash, they're, you know, so it's a form of zucchini, just like the sunburst is. However, these are you know, the shape of a hand grenade. But they're bush type, so you don't have, you know, whereas you have the yellow crookneck and some of these other zucchinis, you know, we know they basically climb on a vine, and that's the way they grow. These are bush types. They form like a small, squatty little bush, and usually come in somewhere low on the plant, big yellow flowers, and the fruits. You got to kind of look in there to get them. I will say this, the yellow ones are sure easy to find, the sunburst. One interesting note about the sunburst squash, and if you try to save zucchini, you won't do well. Typically, they don't hold up well on the counter. They don't even really hold up too well in the refrigerators, as I'm sure you know. But right. these yellow sunbursts, when you hang on to them, even if they're on the counter, what kind of happens is, and they could be 5-6 inches across, which is a little large. You know, you're getting to the point where they're getting a little too big, but the skin hardens up on these things, and they will last there for a good 2 months, which is unusual. Now, you will at that point have to get out your potato peeler and get that skin off there because it gets pretty tough. But it is interesting that you can have, and when you eat them, they taste just like any zucchini, but, you know, that skin gets pretty tough. But I would put up with that if I can get, you know, 30, 60 days of storage out of a summer squash. That is pretty cool. I have no idea whether or not these new bush types would store like that. My elephant garlic are well up. I got a text yesterday from my brother-in-law who planted some in a pot. Man's in his 50s. He planted some in a pot with no holes. And, of course, they came up, and then they're dead in the doornail. And this is why I'm why I'm suspicious of people, is a man in his 50s who doesn't know that you need to drain a hole in a pot. I mean, where have I gone wrong? Did I not do my job? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But he killed it. I didn't know you could kill squash. I mean, I didn't know you could kill garlic. I mean, basically, it's a weed, but he did it anyway. It's just a shame, too, because the interesting thing I would mention about the elephant garlic is if you could lay your hands on it, you can plant it now, because it's not a garlic, it's a leek. And I'm getting ready to put my leeks in the ground now that I got from Bruce the Onion Man. That would be Dixondale. You can put elephant garlic down now. They may not be as large as if you had done it in the fall, but because it is not a true garlic, you do not need to have a cold winter in order to make it fire, which is why down south, like down in southern Georgia where the Hoss boys are, they cannot plant garlic because they do not have a winter like we do to get that stuff to do what it should do. So they use elephant garlic down south, and they can plant. They plant it in the fall, but you could plant it in the spring at the same time that you would plant shallots or onions. you could plant, or leeks, and you could plant your elephant garlic now as well if you wanted. I will say this one interesting thing. I bought some shallots from Bruce the Onion Man about 3 years ago. Thought I got them all out, but the way these things work is once you got shallots, you got them. You'll never get them all up. It's like those wild onions that grow in your yard. They're probably coming up just about now. Yeah, you can go out there and dig them up, and you'll get some of them, but you'll never get them all. And that's what the shallots do, and they multiply down there. So, is that a song, or am I hearing this wrong?
No, it was a note on my computer. I'm on the phone, Rick. My computer died.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to get it restarted.
No, don't bother. You sound much better now. What is happening down there is these things, they're kind of like daffodils down there or something. They just keep sending off side shoots and bulbs, so which is good because, my goodness, you know, if you go to the store and you buy shallots, everybody knows they kind of punish you on that. They want a lot of money for elephant garlic, and they want a lot of money for shallots. You know, at that point, when you're paying that kind of money, you should call them shallots because they're expensive. That's right. We have one more time. You know, I have my children now. You know, they're older and they're having. What do I got? I got a 3-day-old grandchild right now.
Wow!
I got another one.
Congratulations!
I know. I got another. Why? Thanks a million. She's a fat little girl. And another one. I got a boy coming June. I keep getting ridiculous texts.
All right. Hey, Rick, quick question. How many grandkids you got?
Seven so far, but I'm still young. And these kids are just, they're right in that slot. They're right in the slot where it's really, I've got, let's see, I've got my youngest child has two, and the second one, the guy you met, Peter, whose website you set up for him, he's the one who has one on the way, but, the rest have two and three. So, you know, that's, I know that there are people out there with more, but they're probably older than I am. So you're just going to have to give me a little time. Part of the problem is these kids start so late these days, you know? My wife has a high school friend whose son just had his first child, and the idiot's 45. That's just great.
Oh, wow.
You know? I guess when he goes to play soccer, he can push his dad's wheelchair up to the line. So anyway, they're being interested in gardening, and I'm getting all this stuff. You know, if they've just listened to the show, it would have been nice. They're going out and they're buying all, they're filling up their raised beds with compost, and they're telling me, wow, this is really gonna just explode. I'm planting this stuff in pure food. No, you're not planting it in pure food. You're planting it in compost, which at this point is basically inedible for your plant. So, you know, it's going to be a while before that bed is actually full of natural food, which at that point, it becomes a small ecosystem down there, and we've talked about that. I don't want to belabor the point, but what I'm saying here is that my children, even though, you know, they grew up watching me do these things, I guess they weren't interested, so they didn't pay any attention. So now they don't know, and now they're interested, and now we have to go over it all again. So, you know, for the time being this year, they'll have to use some NPK and some micronutrients in order to get those beds moving in the right direction so that they get, you know, food this year. You'll get a little bit of food if you plant in pure compost, but not much.
That is music. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Please hold on.
Will power make that old car go? A woman's mind told me that's so. Oh, how I wish.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, "You look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do." So I took off my hat. I said, "Imagine that. Cut me.
Welcome
working
back
for
to
you."
Okay, Rick.
I don't know. Did you want to... I don't know if that's probably about enough with regard to gardening. That is to say, you know, we're still a little early in the gardening thing. I'm only just getting seeds into flats. I will say this: earlier this week, I cut my potatoes up, my seed potatoes, cut them up into pieces, and I'm waiting for them to harden over a process, as you know, called suberization, which is where the cut face becomes kind of hard and crunchy. And at that point, you don't run such a great risk of having rot or bacteria get in there and mess up all of the potatoes, especially when you have conditions that are wetter than you would like. You run a greater risk of rot. So, you know, now I've got 10 pounds of potatoes cut up. Not to belabor the point, but if you plant whole seed potatoes, you get smaller potatoes because you get many, many vines coming off of out of one spot, out of one potato. And so what you wind up with is potato crowding, which in the case of almost any plant produces smaller plants. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter what plant you were talking about, whether it was beets or anything like that. You just, when you crowd plants, they're smaller. And so you cut these potatoes up and spread them out, and you get probably fewer potatoes
in number, but bigger potatoes, which would be, I guess, what I'd be more interested in, is a more normal size potato. And once again, not to bore everybody, but I will be taking a whack at, this is the first time, in the Ruth Stout potato patch, which is basically a foot of hay all over the place, and the potatoes go under the hay and on top of the ground. Let's see what happens. I will certainly keep you posted. I've got 10 pounds. I will weigh them. I've got 10 pounds of potatoes going in, and we'll see what comes out. You know, I know for the last 2 years, I think I put, you know, so many pounds in and got zero out. I don't know how I can do any worse than that. Well, the good news is about getting zero potatoes is, you know, you can't get negative potatoes. So zero will still be a number. Before we go into bees, you know, last week we were talking about peppers. And I took a few minutes to write down the Scoville unit situation, starting from small to big. And Scoville units is the heat, the measurement of the oil, capsicum or capsation, however, you know, I see it written two different ways. Bell peppers have zero, pimentos have 500. The Santa Fe's, which are the kind of big stuffing things, and the poblanos too. Santa Fe is 1,000, poblanos 1,500. Ancho, another stuffing pepper, 1,500. Hungarian hot wax, 10,000. I don't know. You know, they left out jalapeno, which I thought was kind of weird, because that's about 7,000. That's a why I've got two pages of these. I'm not going to read them all to you, but we. Yep, there's a song.
Yep, that's music. Okay, I guess Lori isn't going to say anything. Guess she lost her connection again. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. We'll start taking callers. Call-in number is 512-248-8252, and the five-minute rule will apply.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.